Insurgent attacks grew both more numerous and more sophisticated during Ramadan 2003. In the summer, there had been about 10 to 15 attacks on U.S. soldiers a day. By mid-October, that had doubled to 20 to 35 a day. By mid-November, as the Ramadan offensive was in full swing, they were peaking at 45 a day. Also, for the first time, the insurgents began having success attacking aircraft. In late October, in an apparent attempt to target Wolfowitz while he was visiting, a UH-60 Blackhawk was brought down by insurgent fire. No one was killed. In early November, a CH-47 Chinook was downed west of Baghdad, killing 16 soldiers. A few days later, another Blackhawk was hit near Tikrit, killing 6. Later in the month, 2 Blackhawks collided over Mosul as one tried to evade ground fire, killing 17 soldiers from the 101st Airborne Division. Also, attempts to down less vulnerable fixed-wing aircraft were stepped up, with missile and rocket launches at flights at the Baghdad airport. None was successful, but one came extraordinarily close, with the surface-to-air missiles destroying an engine on the left wing of a big DHL Airbus 300 cargo jet as it took off on November 21. Attacks in Baghdad also continued, with a series of rockets launched from donkey-pulled carts at the oil ministry and at the Sheraton and Palestine hotels, which were full of American contractors and reporters. Behind the scenes, there was concern among commanders. In just 2 weeks, some 60 American soldiers had died. As the Ramadan offensive intensified, worry grew that the enemy would attempt to stage a spectacular series of attacks on Eid, the holiday that ends the holy month. We believe there would be an Eid al-Fitr culmination, so it was a ramp-up to stop that, Swanick said later. In Anbar province, we got their attention. There was a new edge of toughness to the public comments of American officials at this time. On November 11, Rumsfeld, defining the situation quite differently than he had in June, told a television interviewer, "We're in a low-intensity war that needs to be won, and we intend to win it." The same day, Sanchez told reporters in Baghdad, "We're going to get pretty tough, and that's what's necessary to defeat this enemy, and we're definitely not shy about doing that when it's required, and we will do that in a precise intel-driven mode." The next day, both sides made major moves. A car bomb hit the Italian military headquarters in southern Iraq, killing 18 Italians and 8 Iraqis. It was the deadliest attack on a coalition partner of the U.S.-led occupation. It was also the greatest loss of life suffered by the Italian military since World War II. On the U.S. side, the 1st Armored Division launched an operation in Baghdad called Iron Hammer that involved 26 artillery and mortar attacks and 27 missions by strike aircraft. AC-130 gunships, which carry machine guns and a 105mm cannon, began flying nightly missions over Baghdad. To curb the IED attacks, soldiers were ordered to shoot to kill anyone seen digging holes alongside roads at night. In Baqaba, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Young, commander of a battalion in the 4th Infantry Division, said that more tonnage of munitions was used by his unit than ever before in Iraq. "This is to demonstrate one more time that we have significant firepower and can use it at our discretion," he said. To any American familiar with one of the most basic concepts of counterinsurgency campaigns, that they succeed when a minimum of firepower is employed, that was a troubling statement.